On tonight's episode of Sanity Lounge, the boys welcome Joe Keys to the show. Joe has had a one-of-a-kind journey from being the doorman at a New York disco in the late 70s to traveling the world for two decades with funk royalty. Then, as an infamous third act to an already wild life, Joe started fronting a multi-talented funk outfit, Joe Keys and the Late Bloomer Band. That band has evolved his wild life and journey into a modern-day philosopher that is a good man trying to do good things in a funked-up world. Check out Joe Keys and the Late Bloomer Band wherever you can, and join us for a deep dive with this one-of-a-kind cat in the Sanity Lounge.
Welcome, Baltimore. We have a special guest in the studio today. We have Joe Keys and the Late Bloomer. From Joe Keys and the Late Bloomer.
The Late Bloomer Band.
The Late Bloomer Band.
Joe Keys and the Late Bloomer Band.
Yeah, so we're going to do like a little, we're going to do a deep conversation on to what the band's about and where it came from. So.
Right. I'm very interested in the history of Mr. Joe Keys.
I'm going to be the first to say here that you're... music slams.
Thank you.
Like, it is fucking incredible.
Right.
Like, it's a nine-piece band with horns, everything.
Right.
Percussion, drums. It's fantastic.
And it's up, for whatever reason, it's like my bread and butter. I mean, like, the funk shop, like, anything P-funk, deep funk, like, that is my, it's just where my soul has always been. So when I come across all of a sudden Joe Keys, you know, from Baltimore, I'm like, holy shit. Like, this is my shit. Like,
and you're right around the corner, man.
Right.
Carroll County. We're
right.
Carroll County boys ourselves.
Damn right.
Right.
Damn
right. So first,
I don't claim Baltimore. I claim Carroll County.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, so that's my first question is where are you originally from?
I'm originally born and raised in Freehold, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I graduated the same high school as Springsteen.
Oh.
That's our claim to fame. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, nice. You didn't happen to be around when Springsteen
was older than me.
Right, right. I got
about
you.
20 years older than me, actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now,
he helped some people out around town that I knew. He's a good guy.
Yeah that's cool.
Good guy. Mm-hmm.
That's very
that's
cool
awesome.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Now, did you come down here, like, what's your trajectory from New Jersey? Did
you
start
said
playing
here 20
music?
Years.
Okay, so I've been in Maryland. I moved to Maryland in 1995.
Yeah.
I came down to hang out with a mentor-type guitarist friend that I grew up with. I had just got back from California, and I was just out of my third rehab or so, and I tried the relocation thing, and I figured I'm going down here for the Million Man March is what I came down
okay.
for.
Oh, wow.
In 1995,
yep.
And a friend of mine, Gerard Mays, a guitarist, and turned me on to a lot of people. He's a few years older than me, so he's a big brother type. His family was in D.C. He said, come on down, man. Your mama. I had some time.
Mm-hmm.
So I came down and we started a band.
Nice.
It was called Return to Zero. It went sour real fast.
Right.
But I found some potential.
Yeah.
And I had relocated. So every time I relocate in my life, the first thing you do is you find out who got the funk.
Yeah.
Whatever newspaper it is, whether it's a city paper or whatever in the small cities. They don't have that stuff now because of the internet.
Right.
But when I was hanging out and moving
mm-hmm.
from city to city or for whatever I was doing, there was always like a little local newspaper that showed you what was happening all around the area.
Right.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. We used to have the city paper.
City paper was here, exactly.
Right.
San Francisco had the city paper as well.
We
got New York City had the Village Voice.
Mm-hmm. The Village
That's
Voice,
awesome.
The famous Village
the
Voice.
Famous yeah, Village
yeah.
Voice.
So,
it was a free paper.
So, Joe, were you into music from the get-go?
From the get-go.
And you were always a front man or?
Well, no. I was always a DJ and a music listener and a music supporter.
I got you.
I started listening to music when I was 5 years old.
Yep.
I had my eyes on it.
Right.
At five, I was the little kid that was going to play the records at the party. The adults would let me play the records because I played good selections. And I also played flip sides.
Right.
My dad was the person at the Elks Lodge who would change the records out of the jukebox.
Oh, wow.
And I'd get all the old records, and I just wouldn't play the hits. I'd play the other side all the time. So nice. I was always the kid who played the songs that nobody else played.
The deep right. cuts.
Yeah. The deep cuts. Right, right. Exactly. B-side. Exactly. B-side. So by the time I was 10, 11 years old, I was a local DJ.
Nice.
And you probably had a vast knowledge of all music shit. Because it, yeah. you did both sides.
I did. Or, when other kids was playing it outside, I was trying to hang out with whoever the musicians was in the family. We had singers or, mm-hmm. you know, there were a lot of winos and dope fiends, but they were great guys. And,
yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, we don't judge
you. Yeah, sure we don't. Sure we don't. But that's who I gravitated to.
Right, sure. Right.
You know, I gravitated, hey, can I come hang out with y'all? You know, that kind of thing. And they would let me play the records because they would with the girls or whatever. And I could play them records for them.
Right, right.
And get the party going at a very young age.
Interesting.
That's awesome. My wife claims to have that same skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see Amanda being that. Like, she's got a great vibe in any room she goes in.
What is the language on this show?
Oh, it's whatever fine, you want. Baby.
Whatever the fuck you want. Yeah, don't worry.
We're not censored.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. Okay.
Again, if you watch, once you watch a few episodes, you'll feel it. You know, you be you.
Yeah. Speak freely. Yep.
Don't worry about a thing. But okay, so you always vibed great with music through the DJ work and stuff like that. When did you feel that call to become like a front man? I mean,
it wasn't until I am a late bloomer.
That's what that's the cure. Right. That's what I'm getting at.
So, for years, when I was coming up, when I started going to concerts around age 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm. Give me a year, like a rough
71, I went to see Funkadelic. I was 11 years old.
And 71, P-Funk, baby. Yeah, oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, at Newark School Stadium.
Wow.
You know, and it changed my life. I saw Earth, Wind & Fire. I saw The Grateful Dead.
Oh, man.
I saw Miles Davis. I saw bands that had very strong front men.
Yeah.
Right.
A band called Defunct out of New York City. I don't know if you know them. I started going into New York because when the drinking age was 18, when I was 18. So at 16, I could go hang out because I was tall and I knew how to hang out. And it didn't bother you, didn't really much back then.
Right.
Plus, I always had a little package of something that would kind of help me.
Sure. Yeah, right. It's like you could be the part. You are the part.
Yeah,
right. You'll be all right.
Yeah, I was that dude, right.
Yeah, baby.
So I listened to bands. For years, I was in a couple talent shows. I would learn how to sing records, Gil Scott-Heron songs. We like have competitions on who gonna learn the words first.
Right.
New Gil album come out, new P-Funk album come out, new Gil Scott-Heron album come out. Me and my boys, who were kind of the musician guys around, we would have this thing, you know, who gonna learn the shit first. And I would always learn the Gil's. I would learn the words first, right away. But not only would I learn the words, I would learn the solos. I would learn the keyboard parts.
Oh, okay.
I would learn everything about the damn song. I've been in the studio with George Clinton, and he said, what's next, what's next? Because I know some of his shit better than he does.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, we'll get to that.
So you play instruments?
I do not.
You do not?
I fiddled around with the bass guitar.
Right.
As a kid, that was my first instrument that I owned. I play a little keyboard when I'm trying to write a song or something, get some notes together with the band or something. But no, I do not. Right. I'm a good hummer.
That's
I can
good.
Tell the band. Boop, 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 this
so you understand rhythm.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Yes.
So you would say that because you've existed in the essence of music your whole life, you've naturally picked up a bit of
a piece of each. That's exactly what you just said.
Interesting.
What I'm saying.
Interesting. Well, that's good shit.
I did. I was. It was my purpose from day one.
Right. Okay. Well. Go ahead.
No, I was just getting more into, I mean, you mentioned George Clinton. Like, what are some of the other big bands back then that got that really, like, influenced you to just go at it?
Miles Davis.
Yep.
Bob Marley.
Yeah.
I saw those guys, and it just...
In New York?
Yeah.
Wow, man. In the early 70s. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. I didn't see Miles too late, but I followed his stuff.
Right? Yeah, sure.
But I saw Bob at Madison Square Garden. Stanley Clark opened up.
Wow.
That's kind of amazing. So music, it was just different back then. It was just the positive vibe that came with it. It really was a while before I said I'm gonna try to sing in a band. Mm-hmm. You know, it really was. I knew I had it. Mm-hmm. I knew I had the charisma, so to speak,
right,
and stuff like that. I knew it, but I never thought of myself as a good singer. I really don't still, to be honest with you. I don't think of myself as a crooner. I think I'm a damn good band leader.
Well, yeah. No, yeah, I was going to say, I think you sound perfect for what you
do. What I'm doing,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's all. That's
you tell
what
a
you
story. I like it.
I do. Right. So I moved to California in 1984. I was 24 years old, and I met some people there. Some people that was starting with hanging out with Digital Underground, and that the funky rap was starting to happen when I moved out there, because P-Funk had kind of fallen apart, and the reggae became big in the 80s. So I went out and I started getting into a lot of reggae, and that whole dub, echo dub stuff that this stuff comes from that nobody really wants to talk about.
Right, right.
But yeah, and I hung out with some musicians out there, and I had leadership skills with them. You know, and that can be something sometimes if it can be a conflict.
Sure, you have to have the right
group of people with that.
Right.
So that I didn't really find it out there. I found that I could do it out there, and I started hanging out. I always, once again, I was always had a package.
Right.
So the package got me backstage.
Look,
a lot.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It works.
It just did back then, and so I met a lot of people. You got a package, and you're going to meet George Clinton. You got a package, you're going to meet George. You're
right.
You're going to hang out with him all night, all week. You're in.
Right.
So I got a chance to go to the studio and see how it worked. And I got a chance to meet, recently, my person that I followed in New York. His name is Joseph Bowie. I don't know if you've heard of the Bowie family from Frederick, actually. What's his brother's name? Lester, trumpet player Lester Bowie. He passed away.
Lester Bowie. I feel like I know that.
You may. Well, Joe Bowie had a band called Defunct in New York City.
Okay, that's what you mentioned.
Yeah, Defunct, and oh man, I latched on to them.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I latched on to them. He had everything that he had it all for me.
What year was
He's a trumpet player. Joe Bowie. This is around 81.
81. Mm-hmm.
All the way to this day. He and I are best friends to this day.
Nice.
And we're very good friends. And so he kind of helps me mentor me through all this craziness with the young musicians and stuff.
Sure. Is he still active?
He's still active. He's in Amsterdam.
Okay.
Yes, he's still very active. Huh?
Nice.
Same way, working with young musicians and stuff.
Awesome.
He's on the underground. He's doing good. Good. Fighting life, you know. Battle cancer for a while. We just get in there.
Keep moving.
Sure.
Keep moving forward, man.
We just get in there. So, yeah, so I would, once again, I didn't know this. When I look back on it, I was going to school.
Right.
I believe in God, and it was just my journey.
Mm-hmm.
Music was my journey. I watched these people. Man, listen, I didn't know this shit was going to happen. But when I got to Maryland, I moved down here with a friend of mine. He came down for the Million Man March. We went to Central Park that year to hear George's 20th anniversary at a mothership or something.
Mm-hmm.
That following couple of months, George was here at Pier 6.
Yep.
And I'm backstage. He's like, man, you sure getting around a lot. What you got some money? What you doing? How you know what the hell? I saw a man, I just moved to Maryland. He said, you need to get with these clones. He said, this boy is called the Clones of Funk in Annapolis, Maryland. They do our shit. They need you.
Huh.
So when I go, he said, see that guy? This guy had one leg, and it was Curtis Presser. See that guy over there? He had one leg and a bag full. Tell him to take you to the clones. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work out because I was a madman.
Right.
But I found my place.
Right. You felt it, though. You could feel
the
vibe.
I became George Clinton.
Right, right.
I became George Clinton.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible,
with
dude.
With the habit, the whole shit.
Right.
I became George Clinton. I had a blonde wig, costume, taking my drawers off on stage.
And to be clear, you did it at the behest of George Clinton.
I did. Right?
That's
exactly.
That's
told
fucking
you to go
incredible,
do it.
That's exactly.
Dude. That's awesome,
yeah,
dude.
That's amazing.
Because you're like, well, what the fuck am I? Yeah, I got it, you know. Okay. It's like, well, you know.
George sent me to y'all.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's, you know, so we can't argue too much with me. That's a lot of power.
That's so fun.
Too much for me.
It's crazy.
Because these guys are still together.
Sure.
They're a great band.
Yeah, right.
But they're best friends and they grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
And here I come from out of town.
Right.
You know, this new guy from out of town. You know.
Yeah. It's
high out my brains all the time at that point in my life. And I was a little much for
right.
I was a little much. But I lasted for a while with them. I got my name. I realized that I could do it.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so people, what did you do in that band? You were the front man?
I was the front man.
Really?
I was George Clinton.
So they didn't have one. He just said they need one, and you're going to be it.
That's what George said. That's
fucking amazing.
Yeah,
that's what I say. On the behest of George Clooney, that's the ultimate endorsement.
It is,
you know? right. It's like, you know.
You've been in Maryland like what, 20 years? Mm-hmm. That was around 2004, and then you formed this band in 2009.
This band's been together, let's see, what year did I turn 50? I turned 50 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what year was that?
That was like 2010-ish.
10.
Yeah.
10, because that's what it would be. It'd be even number, because I was born 1960, right?
Right.
So yeah, so I got this band together at 50 years old. I moved up here. I was here in Westminster. And I always hung out with musicians.
Mm-hmm.
When I left the Clones of Funk, I decided I'm going to do this shit.
Yep.
I started searching for bands and started doing Gil Scott-Heron tributes a little bit. But I had a bad habit by then, man. So things was going
on. What was your thing? Heroin?
Cocaine.
Cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cocaine. Lots of it.
I had a hard coke addiction.
Yeah, I had a hard coke addiction.
So
I loved it, and then it just went away.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a part of the battle. I've been sober now for 9 years.
Nice.
Coming up on nine years.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, good stuff.
Years. September
good
makes 9 years.
Yep.
But I've been in and out for 30.
Yeah, I know. It's a constant. Yeah. It's a constant.
So and if it's a thing, because if you need to not like somebody, that'll make it real easy for him.
Absolutely.
He's a fucking crackhead.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
You can be the best motherfucker in the world, but he's a crackhead.
Right. Once you're labeled.
That means you can just kick me in my face if you want to.
Yeah, it's
not
bullshit.
Not that you should, but right.
Right, it's bullshit. I know.
So yeah, I bet you do. So I met a lot of people, man. My brother Bill Morano, a lot of these people are dead. Any stories that I'm telling?
Well, let me ask you this. So I notice that you seem to, like, is it because you always had the package that's why you know most? Because it seems like you know, like, Fishbone and, like, some of the cats from Fishbone.
Yeah,
and
I do.
So, you know.
No, that wasn't like, the package with them, actually.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, is that just because you guys have been playing and, like, throughout time?
Well, there's also, when you in with Funkadelic.
Right.
You got a network for yourself.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I feel like they have people all over
the country.
So
Fishbone be like, oh, you cool? Oh, man, you know that? Fishbone, being from California, they always wanted to meet a funky guy from New Jersey.
Sure.
Because New Jersey's the funk capital, baby.
Right. Oh,
that's
I know.
Where P-Funk is from. So those guys bow down because they know I know that shit.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's in your blood.
It's in my blood. So right. They started inviting me on stage with them.
That's incredible. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, you're like, yeah, it's like... Great. It's like
it's a family thing, though. The funk thing is, I must say, it is.
It must be.
There's a lot of love in that funk world, man.
Yeah, it seems, because that's the other thing I wanted to mention, is it seems like you do a lot of traveling, and it's usually, it seems, I don't know shit because we were just meeting, mm-hmm. but it seems through like the Facebook world that you're traveling to go hang with people
funk,
or play funk with your band, or you're going to New York to watch see statues of funk masters legends, or it's like you seem to be all about.
Yeah, you were just recently overseas, right?
No, I've never been overseas. Nope.
Where were you? You were just somewhere recently.
New York, Seattle.
It was just New York and Seattle.
Seattle, yeah. I mean, it's like you seem to bop around constantly.
I'm blessed. It's a blessing. But my Seattle hookup is. One of the band members that came through the band is now a PhD freaking research doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these kids come through my band and they say, hey, Joe, come visit me. I live in Seattle now. You know,
oh,
so
wow. That's
family.
Wonderful.
You know,
yeah,
like,
that's great.
Yeah.
How many people have been through the band? How many members have
about
you had?
70-something.
70? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. If you count sitting, and I say if you count hire for a couple
sure,
games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, about 70.
Yeah, that's wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, because those kind of players that you would need are probably, you know, like you can not.
Oh, it's a pain in the ass.
I know it's a pain in the ass, but it's probably like once it's like they'll do it for a few years and then they want to move on or something to that effect.
They're young.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right,
that's,
right.
That's the catch. The right. catch is they're young. They start getting pussy.
Oh, okay. You know? I got you. So the telltale perils of youth.
Happened. Yeah, that's what it is.
I got you.
Some of them are extremely talented. but not really interested in traveling and all this stuff. Or they get, or the girls, especially if the girls can't come.
Sure.
It can get, yes.
It takes true grit.
It does.
I mean, to be a road dog, it takes grit.
You gotta grind. You gotta grind. Yeah,
absolutely, dude.
And one of the reasons I do all this traveling a lot is because, first of all, I'm 64 years old. So I want to stay in the grind.
Especially if you can, if you have the means to do it. Dude,
it's not that hard.
Do it. Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Right.
I swear to God, it's not. It's not that hard to live a decent life. Because I do not have a lot of money.
Right, right.
I know it's not that hard. I got beautiful people in my life.
And you focus on what you
I
want.
I learned how to freaking work some decent credit. Right. Mm-hmm. You know. So, you know, I mean, you give yourself a raise when you stop doing cocaine.
I know. Yeah, I know. On a similar level, it's the same way with sleep. Like now, it's like if I'm only getting like 3 hours of sleep, like it's not that big of a deal.
You all right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like it's like back in the day, 3 hours of sleep after a night of cocaine takes cocaine in the morning, right when you get up. Yeah. It's like, this is nothing. Like I can just, you know, do the, thing. I'll be fine.
So, yes. Yeah,
right. Different. That's good stuff. So, okay, so is it always from the get-go of the late Bloomer band, it was always your baby. Has there ever been somebody that stuck in the band like pretty much throughout the whole time? Or has there been a return player constantly?
Yes, there's been that. Right now, my horn players have been there for a long time.
It's a tight section.
The horn section has been there with me. Zach, saxophone player, I met him on Facebook, young boy. He brought his friends in right when I got sober. So some of the kids that come through now never even seen me be a mess before. Zach seen me not show up.
Right.
You know, shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he still hung in there.
Right.
Right.
So when I first started this band, I met this gentleman who's like a brother to me. So yes, he definitely gives back. His name is Dave Cavalier. He's a drummer. And he had there was a club here in town called Micho's.
Yeah, I remember Micho's.
Micho's was hot.
Reisterstown.
Yeah, Reisterstown. Yeah. So Dave was hosting a jam session there. And I met Dave at a similar clone. There's a band called Let the Monkey Go, they call themselves.
Huh. That's cool.
They're a funkadelic cover band from Baltimore. And I was going to one of their sets or whatever, and one of the guys in the band was like, hey, because they all know the kind of music. I don't mess with these old guys. They're hard-headed.
Right.
It's hard. I can't get along with old musicians.
Right, right. They're setting their ways.
Yeah, you were talking about that with Workman.
Yeah, right.
They
right.
don't want to rehearse. They don't really want to learn new songs. They just, I don't blame them, whatever.
Sure, but you
some
have,
of them do. Some of them do. Some of the Funkadelic guys do.
You have to be able to evolve or be willing
some of them,
to evolve.
Some of them just don't. Some of them just don't. So, but anyway, so I met Dave at this gig, and he invited me to a jam session. He said, you'll probably be able to meet some type of musicians you're looking for. That was almost 15 years ago. Go to Micho's, go upstairs, and these kids are getting down. So I said, okay, I'm going to pick a couple of them to do a song for me. I was going to do this, People Make the World Go Round. It's real easy, zoom, zoom, zoom. It's real easy. You can just hum it and they'll play it. So I picked the guys to play the song. You know, you pick people for your jam in the jam session. I picked the guys to play the song. You played well with him. I went to blah, 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 blah. Pick this band to play with. Guess what? I picked a whole band that plays together all the time.
Wow. That's us.
Yeah, because I could tell they played it. I just feel that vibe.
Yep. Right.
Dave was their drummer. Catch is, they were just breaking up. And the reason they were hanging out so much is because their lead singer was moving to Turkey or somewhere. And they were looking for some work.
Mm.
Thus became Joe Keys, the Late Bloomer, and the Late Bloomer Band. Back then, that was the name of the band. It was a big, big, long name. Joe Keys, the Late Bloomer, and the Late Bloomer Band. And I hired one horn player, bass player, keyboard, two guitarists, and drummer. We had two sold-out shows at Micho's right away. Killed them.
Right.
Killed them.
Yeah.
And took off.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember that place.
Mm-hmm. Micho's, so it burned.
Upstairs, old Jesse.
Yeah, I know. It was wild, baby. They had a wild history up there.
Yeah, they had a package going through there once in a while, too.
Yeah, there's some wild stories.
Yeah, I don't remember that place at all.
From Pat, you know, crazy Pat and all that, like all that. But it's right at right when you come into Old Reisterstown from 790 or 140 to Reisterstown Road, right at the top of the key there, if you will. It's a restaurant that's right there.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Right? Like, right?
It used to be called the Lamplight.
Yeah.
It's where the Lamplight used to be.
I remember the Lamplight.
Right. The Lamplight became Misho.
If I came with some money, I'd buy it.
I never went there after that.
And they had great food.
When it was with some money, I'd buy that place.
Yeah, when it was on and everything was running okay, the food was really good, dude.
Like, people was coming in from a lot of different places.
Yeah, it was big money going through there for a minute until drugs, you know, everybody. It gets whisked away, baby. Yeah. I know. I mean, it just, what are you going to do?
We're messing racers down all the time. Like,
right. You ran into that house. Hey, Joe.
Yes, I did.
Look at the Lamplight.
I was leaving Harriman.
Yeah, but wasn't it that house right there at the corner near the Misho's? There's this house right across the street when you're going towards 140 from Misho's.
Across from the world.
There's
park.
A house.
Right across, I know spots.
That's been right there for years. I know. Where they just ran into it.
Well, I bounced off of the curb.
Upstairs,
and then went,
where they used
went
to sell
the
T-shirts and all that stuff.
Not
be shop.
No, not
shop.
One flight up. Yeah, not one flight up.
No. This was just
this
a residence.
This is right across from the Royal Farms. Like, okay, Royal Farms
on
to the left.
Other side.
To the straight across. There was always this house that was right there on 140 where Davis ran into
it. It wasn't my best moment in life, but everything worked out. Nobody got hurt.
So, Joe, how long did it take for you to come up with that fucking album, baby? That album is the Funk Shop. Like,
so it didn't take long.
Well, so I mean, it says 2017, mm-hmm. right?
The one, that one.
Which one are you talking about?
Well, you have a new album out. We're talking about the one.
I'm talking about the one on Spotify.
Hoping and Praying. Stink Bug and My Brownie.
I hadn't gotten clean yet.
Well, that was 2017, I think, is what it said. Is that right or no?
Well, when it was on Spotify. Spotify is not necessarily when
it was. Because I got sober 2015.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe
that,
it's just...
That album was recorded like 4 or 5 years before. That album's old.
No, that's
wow.
It's a great
and
album.
You, yeah, and you were in the throes at Ooh. The moment. Yeah, but man, you
look,
were bringing
the video.
Heat.
If you look at the video, I did a George Clinton on that. If you look at the video, nobody in that video is hardly on the song. You got kids just pretending to play bass.
Oh, wow. No, I'm just going by
those,
Spotify.
I had one of those, I'm not fucking with you right now, Joe, from my bands. I didn't blame them.
Right.
I was like, fuck it, I'm still doing the video.
Sure.
You want to stand there and play a video, man? Come here.
Right.
And people did. It turned out great.
Right. Well, that's good stuff. Well, I mean, I got to tell you.
That album is really good.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love
that. That album's good. It's a good great. Album.
But you have a new album out now.
It's not
nine
out.
Songs. It's not out yet.
It's on SoundCloud.
And what's it called? From the
Tales of the Griot of Westminster.
Tales of the Griot of Westminster. Yeah. I love that name.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's awesome.
My problem, my gift is my problem. I can make a whole album out of every sound I've ever heard, but none of it will be original. You won't know it necessarily.
Right.
Somebody might.
Yeah,
but it's going to take a keen ear to know.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of the bane of all musicians?
Well, it is, but it's hard to this nowadays. People want their money. I don't blame them. You play three notes of somebody's shit and they recognize their shit.
Sure.
They want their money.
Sure.
I don't blame them. Don't get me wrong. I don't even mind paying them. It's just the paperwork you got to go through and stuff you got to go through. It's a lot.
Right.
So my album. It's comprised of a lot of that stuff.
I got you.
It's really good.
Right.
Now, the first one is not. That's pure original.
Okay.
The first one's not. But the second one, we want to put something out, and that's my thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
My thing is like the rappers do it. You know, I get to...
You're piecing together,
if
you will.
Yeah, I piece it together, I will.
But more live? I mean, I guess do you play the show?
Oh, I play those songs live.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so that's awesome, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fucking awesome. And also, I noticed most of your songs are pretty fucking long.
Yeah.
On the album, at least. Mm-hmm. The one
and
album.
So with
I come
that,
from that,
do you write the music, lyrics, everything? Is that all? Is it
the
all
first
you
album I did.
Okay, so everything's you. You're just like, you do this, you do this, you do this.
Yep. Sometimes I'll just get a beat going and tell the horn player, just play the horn, man.
Right.
Then he'd do something in repetition. I'm like, oh, that's it right there.
Right.
That's what I'm looking for. I'll just let him solo a lot of times till we find it.
Well, it blends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So you're literally vibing.
That's exactly
well,
like,
right. One of your titles is the vibologist.
Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. Right. Well, that's what I do.
It's good.
That's what I do, man.
Right. Well, that's a good term for it.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's still kind of obscure today, the front man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing, but it's still considered underground.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lost art. I mean, or it's not a lost art, but it's a rare art, it would appear.
So Brian, I don't even know if we mentioned this, but Brian's a drummer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's in a band. They're 80s band, but they do 90s, today's 90s, hits, cover band.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a good front man. Mm-hmm. Great front man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We got a good front man. We have a couple good front men.
Yeah.
Like, the keyboard player is a great front man, mm-hmm. and this kid jumps around. I mean, he's like James Brown.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And he's 21. We picked him up when he was 16. Mm-hmm. He had the soul and the funk.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got it in him.
Yeah, he's good.
And he lights up the room. It's fucking, you flip out. But if you ever come and see
us. You ever need a sit-in for the late bloomer.
Yeah. Well, you know, we play stables all the time, mm-hmm. like in Westminster mm-hmm. or whatever. So next time I'll let you know.
Yeah, please. Sure.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, I haven't seen you live yet, but that's going to change.
Right. So you guys just played the Legalization Fest?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was a nice bill. I mean, Melvin Seals. That's a fun ticket. And mm-hmm. where was that?
Little Orleans, Maryland, it's called.
Have you ever been there?
Like, this is my second time. Actually, our third time playing that stage.
Wow.
We played the when they did the legalization. This was the 1 year. And then we played some party in between as well.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I had never heard of that part of Maryland. Mm-hmm. But
hey, man, that's my fan base down there.
Yeah.
Nice. Well,
the hippies love me.
Is that right?
That's what my fan base. If you told me that, I'd have called you a liar.
Yeah, you do have the hippie vibe there.
Them fuckers love us, man.
Yeah. Right. I'll bet.
The hills of West Virginia is where we do the best at.
Really?
Pittsburgh, that whole corridor.
Wow.
Love us.
That's so funny. I mean, Pittsburgh, baby.
Good music is good music.
Well, I'm their new George and Jerry. They're Jerry fiends.
Yeah, right.
They need somebody to replace them sometime.
Sure. The king's gone, so they're looking for...
Yep, they're looking for a savior.
Sure. Sure.
They feel they are. George Clinton got a lot of Jerry fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Jerry died.
Right, I bet.
That's how I went.
Well, I always loved the Funkadelic, baby. Mm-hmm. I mean, that you know, they showed up at Fish New Year's. Fish played New Year's Eve, Madison. No, New Year's Eve in Miami.
P-Funk showed up.
In 2003, mm-hmm. and the P-Funk showed up on the second set and, you know, played the whole set with them, and it was fucking great. Mm-hmm. So it's always been a hybrid of, like, hippie.
It has.
Because the Funkadelic, their whole pedigree was psychedelic rock in the 70s or late, you know. And so it makes sense.
It was natural. That's right. That's
sure.
Right, it does.
And, you know, George, he put Anthony Kiedis and Flea, like, the Chili Peppers' first two albums, mm-hmm. Clinton produced.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Second one.
Freaky Styley only.
Freaky Styley.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just know that he as young guys, like, saw the funk.
We weren't happy about that.
No, you weren't?
Well.
Who's we?
Us younger funk heads at the
time. I got you. So you were offended.
Us younger black funk heads was offended that Chili Peppers got the gig and not Fishbone.
I got okay. I see what that. I see what you said.
Because they're from the same era.
I got you. I got
area. They're from the same region and everything.
Now the question is was Fishbone and Chili's, was there tension there, or was it just
a little bit?
Maybe, yeah.
Not anymore.
And I wonder how that played out, because you read the liner, or no, where did, I read the Scar Tissue, Anthony Kiedis' biography,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I read he was saying that George took them in at a young age and, like, produced this album, and, you know, but that's interesting that from a different perspective, they were slighting the shit out of another, you know, group, a couple
they
groups
were,
of characters.
And I mean, you know, I don't know if George took them in or if George saw the size of that check there.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
Well, that's the other thing.
It was kind of like, who's going to go further?
That's the deal. And you can't blame George, really. Don't get me wrong.
Well, and again, I think George had a sweet tooth at that time. And so he was probably, in his defense, not that he needs defense, he was probably, you know, going to go with whoever was going to give him that check. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
that's business, man. You know?
That's interesting. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Especially after the second album. If it's the second album.
Yeah, I mean, and Freaky Styley.
It's a good album.
It is a good album. I mean, it's got some good shit on it.
You can tell it's P-Funk produced.
Oh, yeah. You can feel the P-Funk in it. Like, it's got the DNA.
It's the only show I ever went to it is.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow. That's awesome. Grace, that was 80s, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Late or mid to late 80s.
I saw the show. They were touring with LL Cool J.
Ladies love Cool James, baby.
LL Cool J.
I love LL. Yeah. that was when he released I'm Bad.
Yeah, with the big boom box.
Right. Yeah. Right, I can't live without my radio. Yeah.
We walked out on that.
Yeah.
Us heads was not feeling rapping.
Ladies love Cool James. How old are you? Baby. I'm 48.
Okay, you're a little younger.
No, you're not.
48 in August?
Are you? Yeah, maybe. I'm 48.
In less than a month, 48.
I'm 64.
I'm 47 and three quarters, Joe.
I hear you.
Yeah. How old are you?
64.
Mm-hmm. Man, you look fucking great, dude.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Yeah, you look. You're a youth bloomer. I don't know if that makes sense. All right.
I've been through a lot.
Well, you can hear it. Okay, so the Gil Scott Heron
thing.
I'm
okay with everything I've been through. Don't get me wrong. But
yeah.
I am too.
I'm totally all right with it.
Me too. And again, if you watch the episodes, you'll realize that, you know, we're all out in the open air and we don't judge and, you know, we love all that kind of shit.
Everybody's
we don't love it, but we love life. We love good stories. Yeah. And that's what we're looking for, you know, and that's fucking you.
Me and him have been through a lot of shit together. We've been close since 92.
Yep.
See, I come through the disco era.
God, how was that, man? That had to be cocaine everywhere.
But the music, people talk about it. They just did this documentary, PBS did. It's really good. They talk about the club that I went to, which was Paradise Garage.
Mm-hmm.
The Studio 54 is all, you know, the big... Paradise Garage was started.
What's the documentary called so I can watch it?
Disco, the Golden
Era. Something Disco.
Yeah,
okay, on PBS. All right.
The Revolution, something.
I love disco.
I do too. Yeah. It's good dance music. Yeah,
I don't give a shit. Everybody
shits
on it.
We went to the club. Well, that's because they can't dance.
I'm a drummer. I love the funk. I love disco.
Disco
was such a
scene. The beautiful thing about disco was, like my music, it brought people together.
Right. Like so, the Dead, like P-Funk.
It brought people together, and it brought people together so much. I think that's why they hit us with the crack and the AIDS at the same time.
In the 80s.
They hit us with
the 1-2 punch. AIDS.
Gay people was coming up. Everybody was being cool. People were starting to mix in the clubs. You just want, because the gay clubs was the club to go dancing at.
Mm-hmm. Right,
you
right,
to
right.
Dance. You want to get down and grind. You go to a black gay club, you about to get your dance. You about to get dance.
Especially in New York or some shit in the fucking
New York in the 80s.
So, yeah, but our society doesn't like peace and love. Ain't no money in that. Something happens in the control thing of that.
Right, right.
Because that whole thing was coming up. Black people was coming up. So they hit him with the crack.
Right, right.
That's just what it did.
Well, it is a little bit more. It is a little bit more like it's like, you know, peace and love. I'm all for it. And we were deadheads. And my whole thing is that I fought the system my whole life, literally until like 3 years ago, really. But the only reason why you end up caving is because everything costs. And so it's like peace and love. I always ended up, I loved it, but I ended up like, you know, I couldn't get anywhere and no one else could. And so it ended up being like, you had to find that balance.
Well, that's what you have to
it's
do.
It's like, you got to find that balance. You don't want to sell out to capitalists.
No, but you still got to find the balance.
But
no,
you've
got to
find that balance between.
I'm proud. I got good credit now. Yeah.
That's so great, man.
No,
I'm so happy
you
got to
find
dude.
That. No, 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 no. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's good
you
shit.
You can have both.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing.
Well, happened was we confused peace and love with getting fucked up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like all of a sudden.
Yeah, you know.
And that's what happened with us. All of a sudden, I got raided.
Yeah, of course you did. Yeah. Right.
It's like we were peace and love. Yeah. Everybody was loving everybody. And next thing you know, I got raided. Yeah, and it's like they don't, you know, peace and love, it only works. You're right. They don't want it. Because
there's no money in it.
Unfortunately, and we're learning that in spades right now because the algorithm goes you make the most money on the algorithms out of negativity. It's like, what the hell? I mean, God,
not
like,
really.
Okay,
maybe the money. I'm not sure about that.
Well, no, I'm saying they're saying,
but the algorithm. I've come to respect the algorithm.
Interesting.
I really have. I've come to respect the algorithm.
Okay.
Because I know some negative ass people.
Right.
I don't fuck with them, but I know them.
Sure.
And I used to watch their pages, and the stuff would be just negative.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But let me tell you something. If you're a good person, your page ain't going to be, your algorithm going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to send you peace and love.
Right.
It's going to send you what you're, because it got us down to a science.
Yeah, you know.
Your phone is your algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to send you, my phone don't send me stupid shit no more.
Right, right.
It send me positive stuff. It just does.
And you know, I agree with that. It's,
So it's on you.
Negativity stresses me the fuck out.
Well, I can't mess with it.
But you know.
Ooh, I can't do it.
Yeah, you're right in what you're saying, because I think they have done, like, it's a problem in us. It's like, if you have the fortitude, like Joe does apparently, to not look, you'll get fed puppies and cats,
right,
and niceties because therein lies the rub. It's like everybody has like, well, my algorithm's all fucked up. And it's like, well, you need to look inward a little bit and stop looking at the fucking shit.
My father died last year.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm sorry. He's 92. Yeah. He did good.
That's a nice
run. He did really well. I'm trying to do it like that. My sister's an asshole, so she want all the money. Blah, 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 blah.
It happens.
Oh, yeah. So we're going through that, and that's what it is. It's okay. It's a little thorn. It's a little thorn. I'm okay.
Sure.
But what I'm getting at is this. People will send me, because people watch her for me, they will send me the shit that her algorithm is telling her. She be posting shit like, would you rob your family for this beautiful house? Because that's what her mind is at, and that's what her fucking phone knows where she's at.
Right, yeah. Right.
So it's just taking her there.
Right, it's making her
just
worse.
Go there. That's what it's doing.
Well, that's what it's doing to everyone.
It ain't making me worse.
Other than Joe Keys, and not just you, but you are right. But my wife cracked the code. I mean, she is aloof to all. I mean, you know, she is, you know, has her opinions, but like she does not fuck with any of it.
No,
really.
Neither do I.
Yeah. No.
I've gotten my, I mean, as the social media, as much as it can be cleaned up, mine's cleaned up, but I only see shit that I'm interested in.
Right. Right. Yeah. You are more in the cosplay realm. It seems like you've got
stuff,
all
like
of your
art
stuff.
Makes me happy.
Art.
That's my therapy. Right. And that's
and what
I like to see. That's the shit I like seeing.
Yeah.
Music, art.
Yep.
Right. Well, that's wonderful.
And dogs. I like dogs. I like seeing dogs.
But to be clear, you are aware that the world is having an issue.
Oh,
with
their
algorithm
aware of it
in
because
general.
Of you guys. I pay attention. I just don't follow.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm aware of what's going on. I'm not blind. Yeah,
the world been having an issue though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's why I'm done.
Yeah.
I do what I can.
Yeah.
I know that the best thing I can do is continue to put positive energy out.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And you do.
And
you
do.
Yeah.
So I do it on my page. I do it at my job. I smile. I try to be the nicest human being I can possibly be most of the time.
Sure, sure.
I am nice to everybody I meet.
He's
and I hope
you probably are.
Yeah. He is.
You probably are.
I'm a laid back dude, man.
You probably are. I can see that.
I'm an easy person to get along with.
So then.
Sometimes some people say I look intimidating, but I am
you probably
not.
Do.
I am not intimidating.
I'm 6'5". Are you kidding me? Of course,
right, of course.
But so well.
Right.
I'm one of the most laid back people I know.
I tell people all the time. I don't fucking play basketball. I didn't ask to be 6'5". This shit.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Don't assume nothing.
Right.
About
how many people in your life are like, oh, my man, you run a run
if
ball?
If I had your height, you know, I can't stand when somebody says if I were you.
Right. I can't stand.
Because if you were me, you'd be doing what I do because you'd be fucking me. Because
you'd be me. I like that. I like it.
I'm saying.
That's hilarious.
I like that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because I used to have a lot of weight on me, and people would be like, hey, you do football? And I never was into sports. I was always into music and movies. Well, I was in the sports, but watch episode one and you'll know.
I'm gonna check it out.
But you know, I just wasn't there. But so many people, because of my build, was like, "Come on, man! Like you have to." And I'm like, "Do I? No, you know, I don't." Like, and I did.
And then you found movies and drums.
And then
So were you the leader of your friends of the pack?
I was.
Yeah.
But it was weird. I was never like, whenever they were with me. They knew movies and music because of me. Mine too. Would leave me to go do their sports shit and then come back to me.
How I went to concerts because I would have to find an adult. My parents, you got to go, somebody got to take you, whatever, that's fine.
Right.
But I could pick out the best shows. So I told them.
So is most of your concert going, like you always saw shows from youth to now. Mm-hmm. Like you've seen great shows. Was you ran a lot in New York. Did you do a lot of shows in Baltimore and stuff? Like, what's your Baltimore history, the city?
Not really.
No?
By the time I got to Baltimore, I was pretty much crackhead.
Right. Okay. So
I didn't really do a lot of shows. I went to B-Funk, of course, all the time.
Right.
I could get in free.
Right.
Fishbone.
And you were living in the city proper?
My God. I was living in Annapolis. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I lived in Baltimore. By the time I got to Baltimore, I lived in a shelter, man. Baltimore, oh, yeah. Okay. But I've lived in Baltimore. I didn't care. I got a job in Baltimore Zoo, worked at the zoo, lived in the shelter, going to the studio with Fishbone. And these people in the building, I'm like, listen, I'm really into music.
Right. You said this is going to sound crazy.
I know you don't want to hear it. I know this is not the rules here, but I will get high if I don't get some of that.
Right.
So I'll piss, whatever y'all need me to do to come in here, but you can't take me away from my music.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that whole... you're going to have to give up music thing because it's too much drug related or whatever. You're going to have to find another therapy with me because that ain't going to work. You can't take that from me.
And did they go for
that? They did.
Wow.
Each and every time.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd wind up fucking it up because I would wind up getting
high. Right.
But
right.
Yeah.
Right. I'll say, I feel like nowadays they wouldn't do it. They would be like, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
They might.
They might if it's right there and it's like...
some of those places still right now, I go back and I speak to this day.
Good for you.
I go back and I speak. I take a little trio. I take music to them. Thanksgiving, all that stuff.
Well, listen, while we're down this road a smidge, what was the final straw, if you don't mind me asking? Like, what, you're in Baltimore, you're doing not well, you're in a shelter, you know you love music, you're still seeing Fishbone, you're still dabbling here and there. What was the impetus, or what was the beginning? Like, because you probably didn't do it right the first time. It takes many times to get sober. But, like, what was the thing, the rock bottom, or what was the light that kind of bapped you?
I got suicidal.
Is that right?
Yeah. I ain't give a fuck no more.
Yeah. Once you can't feel anything.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, I just couldn't stop.
Yeah. It is a helpless feeling.
Yeah.
It's fucking ugly,
man. I just
couldn't
stop.
It's ugly.
That's really what happened.
Well,
I was hallucinating and shit. I was pooky, baby. I was hallucinating. My mother's picture was crying.
Right.
I'm hearing voices, and they're all the voices are saying is, look, motherfucker, you about to die.
Right.
And I'm saying, fuck it, then I'll just die.
Right.
Now, Jesus Christ, when I heard myself say that, I went, fuck.
You were like, I'm in deep shit here.
Did you just say, fuck it, I'll just die?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. So it took me a couple days to get it together.
Right.
But I went to rehab like 3 days after I said that out my mouth, and I've been sober ever since.
Good for you, man.
Nice.
That's good shit.
So, good for you. You did it on your own.
I did. I've been to 6 rehabs. I've checked myself in all of them.
Yeah.
I always knew where the help was.
Mm-hmm.
My mother used to be proud of me. She passed away, but she used to be proud of me. She said, well, if you're going to do the drugs, you might as well do the other shit they got for it, too. They work in both ends.
Absolutely.
She knew that. You know what I mean? They're giving you the drugs, and they're making money on the rehab. So
absolutely.
Go ahead. If you're going to be in the system, go ahead and do it, goddammit. At least you're alive, and one day you might get yourself together.
Right.
And
so I would go in.
Nowadays, make no mistake, the same drugs that are on the streets are in these pills that are legal and being passed out to everybody.
It's
so
now.
It's like...
I tell people now, this is what I tell young people. If you didn't get a chance to get high back in the day, you missed out.
Yeah. Right? Right? It was the
cocaine
pure.
Cocaine could just kill you
it's
like that
You're done. It's done. Because yep. It's done. It's
that unbelievable. I mean,
and around that time, George stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the king.
Right, right. Well, he was real. Like, he had a real hard run for a minute, right? I mean, and he kind of went back, didn't he, or no?
He hasn't gone back since now, the past 10 years or so, no.
Good, good.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I again, I've never heard of
him. And he's rolling. I mean, what's George? He's what, 84? Mm-hmm. 84?
Maybe
83
this year. 83 in July. This month, yeah.
Dude, do you remember he
was... Yeah, he got a pacemaker. George got a really good younger wife who's managing his band. George's doing fine.
Good. Mm-hmm.
George good. Clinton doing fine.
And where does he live around? I mean...
He lives in Tallahassee, Florida.
Is that right?
And if he's dabbling and he good, he was the kind who could
straddle the fence.
Well, fuck, man. I'm in San Francisco at a friend's house. I go get packaged with George. And I was visiting. I was living here in Maryland at the time. I was visiting San Francisco. And I go get the package. Now, when I do that stuff, I'm scared. Both of y'all are the cops.
Right.
As soon as I take a hit, you become a policeman.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm frightened. The house is surrounded. That's where I'm at. I'm fucking a wreck.
And you're in San Francisco?
I'm in San Francisco, yeah. In a safe, secure place at a friend's house.
Right. But you're paranoid.
Then a motherfucker.
Right. Right, okay, I got you.
George takes double the amount. Fucking smoke coming out of his fucking every orifice of his body.
Right.
He says to me, Keys, hand me a knife over there.
Oh, God. And you said, no.
I said, George, what you need a knife for? He said, I'm about to make a sandwich, motherfucker.
Oh.
What the fuck?
That's awesome.
Like, how normal is that?
Right, you right. Said, how the hell is he on that level and I'm on this fucking level? That's fucking great, dude. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's just one of the many stories. Is this dude, so he's not built like regular humans.
Right, right. He's got the...
But one of the reasons we stayed coked up, fact, many people got sober till they went to a P-Funk concert.
Till they went to a P-Funk concert.
Just can't imagine going in without an 8-ball in your pocket.
Is that right? Wow.
Couldn't imagine it. That culture, that just see it.
But even to this day?
No, not to this day. I'm saying, but back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, back in the day, they were rocking the crowd.
So once again, right. But once again, now that George ain't doing it, a whole lot of people not.
Mm-hmm.
That's good shit.
That's real good shit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
A whole lot of people.
I mean, there's a lot of power in music. There just is. You know it. We know it. Yeah. Everybody knows it. But it's hard to articulate. And it's hard to measure, like, how much it matters, really. Mm-hmm. Like, because to me, it seems that it matters way more than, like, science is studying.
Well, if you're lucky, lucky enough to get older, the only thing that matters now is staying alive a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true.
So you just fucking...
And doing what you love, I would say.
That's what I'm saying. And doing what you love. So that's what I mean. If you're an artist, and you're doing your art, you're doing... I'm far from rich, but I'm wealthier than the average man.
Yeah, that's wonderful, man.
That's for sure.
And you guys have a bus or no? Like, how the hell did you? I saw
keep
you,
a van.
I was saying, that's the shit, man. Like, you got
I keep
a
van. Freaking budget. Enterprise gave me a really nice deal. They love me. That's why I said I'm traveling on pure love, bro.
That's wonderful.
You're a people
man.
Person.
Yep, that's I'm a people sure. person. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you play? Is it every Thursday or every what is it at the Mobtown Ballroom?
That's every second Thursday now. We had to cut back on some of the nights.
Every second.
We were
Thursday.
Doing it in Frederick, but they sold the building. Pissed me off a little bit, but sell the building.
I saw you were doing it in Frederick. You're not doing it in Frederick anymore. No, and that's full band, or is that anybody welcome?
That's anybody. Horn section usually follows me around wherever I go. I hire a little rhythm section.
Right.
And meet more people.
Like right.
Last year's jam session people are this year's rhythm section.
Right.
That nice. Kind of thing, yeah.
And then you have coming up the Pigtown Festival, too.
Pigtown Festival's
When's that?
Coming
That's
up.
Next month, right?
That's the 28th, yeah.
28th of August. Mm-hmm. Got it.
No, 28th of September.
28th of September.
Uh-huh. Yep, yep. Uh-huh.
Cool.
Yep. What about Benzel Cowan?
What about him?
He's the drummer of P-Funk.
He is.
And how do you know him? I mean, because I've seen your video, or he sometimes sits in.
He plays with me a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So is he still playing with them?
He's traveling with them right now.
Right.
When he's off the road, he's calling me and saying, you got any gigs for me? Because he loves playing with us.
Wow.
That's nice.
I would love to meet him.
His father came to play with us last week, and Greg Boyer, the horn section.
Wow.
The P-Funk comes around me and plays. Mm-hmm.
That's so
it
fun,
is, man. It's pretty amazing.
Have you ever done anything with Rufus Roundtree around here?
Not really.
No.
Nah, Rufus is more like a... No.
No. I've seen him twice. He's done some TMD things. I've met him once, but I'm just curious.
I never done nothing with Rufus.
All right.
No.
He's got his sound is different than mine. Let me just say it like that.
Right, right, right. Well, that's fine, yeah.
Yeah. I don't do well with Baltimore guys.
Yeah. That's all right.
I wish I did.
Right.
Like,
I don't do well with older cats. I don't do well with Baltimore cats.
When you say do well, you mean in a musical sense or in general?
All of the above.
In general. Yeah. Right, interesting.
Just a clash.
But you play the Mobtown Ballroom every two Thursdays in Baltimore.
All right, so maybe I'm talking about Baltimore Brothers.
Okay, I got you.
I'm being honest.
Yeah, right.
It's just something doesn't, I don't know if it's a Jersey Baltimore.
Right, right, right. That's what it is. It's your Jersey roots. Yeah. And that's fine,
well,
you know.
And
I'm a little snobby.
Are you?
When it comes to the funk, yeah.
I guess, yeah, I guess.
I can be.
Sure. And you actually, arguably, may have the right to be. Because,
I do.
You know.
I do. That's part of my rhyme. Right. Like, I don't play no basketball, but I'll fuck you up on that stage.
Right.
So that's where I can compete.
Right. Right.
You know, guys, we like to compete. All right. You ready? Mm-hmm. You know. I'm probably going to win.
Sure, sure.
Honestly, I try not to brag or whatever, but
yeah, but
some of them guys, they don't want to give me my props for what I do. For whatever it is. I don't know if it's a competition of knowledge, who knows it the best or
right.
I don't know.
Well, don't
I never
feed
did
into
well.
It.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah, fair
I
enough.
I never I say this all the time. Baltimore's not one of my favorite cities.
Ooh, hot take from Joe Keys. We're pro Baltimore, but that's fine.
I'm pro anything.
Yeah, right, right. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. We don't judge anything.
Now,
yeah.
He didn't say he doesn't like it. He said it's not one of his favorite cities.
Not my favorite.
I understand. Yeah.
But as of recently, that's changing.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of gigs coming up in Baltimore. Outside of those circles.
Mm-hmm.
Pig Town.
Yep.
This is my third year in a row, Pigtown. Actually, I'm going to tell this on tape because it's a true story. They say as long as you're telling the truth, it's okay.
Right.
So 3 years ago, Rufus had the headline of the Pigtown Festival. Probably had it for a couple years. And I had like a 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock slot or something. I was just getting in. He talked shit.
Mm.
Right? Guess what? I've been headlining ever since.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So that gave me a little, motherfucker.
So that's why when you mentioned him, you said no.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I mentioned
him. But yeah, but I mean, that's a good story, you know? Curious. That's what we're looking for here at Sanity Lounge, baby.
He talks shit, so like I said, that's the wrong place for me.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
So I can win.
Well, and you just don't want any bad vibes. And again, he may be fine.
I don't.
And,
right.
You know.
I don't.
He might have just been having a bad day, you know, or something.
It's more than that,
like
but
that.
I'm not. We don't have to get all personal
sure,
like
sure,
that. But
sure.
There's something. It's race shit, man.
Is it?
Yeah, it's black shit.
In other words, the problem you have is with other black people?
Black men.
I got you. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got you. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. That I found in Baltimore to be a little. There's a lot of pain in Baltimore.
Oh yeah. Well, let me ask you. What is the angle? Like what? We don't have to dwell too long. But
no,
just
it's okay.
Out of curiosity, like what would be the angle? That is it. Just because they feel you're an outsider.
That's part of it. And I told you I'm a little snobby.
Right.
And I ain't a bad-looking guy, blah, 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 blah.
Uh-oh.
And I come from a fucking full family.
I come
from a father and a mother. I don't come from poverty.
So you get mad ass is what it boils down to, right, Joe?
When I was coming up.
Right. Okay. Was coming Go up. Ahead.
Plus, I've been known to get all kind of ass.
Right, okay.
That's I also have that in my okay, right. All kind of adult ass.
I got you. Put, okay, yeah, I dig it.
I've been known to play on all sides.
You're a gunslinger.
I'm a gunslinger.
I see.
Okay,
Joe, and everything good. Makes sense.
It's all good.
Now.
I want it. Okay, you got that. So some of the cats, they may be homophobic or whatever.
Sure.
You dig what I'm saying?
I got it.
I don't give a damn.
Sure.
But that's what I don't. I don't get that vibe in New York.
Right.
I don't get that vibe in Jersey. I don't get that vibe in San Francisco. I only seem like I get it in Baltimore.
Hmm. Right.
And that ain't mean from everybody, but it's definitely there.
It's more present than any other place you've been to, so it's noteworthy or something like that. Yep. But it's good that you're giving it a chance because...
No, but
you know, or another, you know,
run. Let me tell you something. So now, who's calling me in Baltimore is... Brothers like Stokes, Congressman Stokes.
Is that right? Nice.
He's getting me gigs in these little communities.
Good.
That need some positive vibrations.
Good. That's great shit.
I got a few of them in August coming up. A few of these small little side streets, little parking lots.
Yeah, right.
Little concert series and stuff. Every town in America got a concert series now. You don't have to play in clubs. Every town, next year I plan on touring the whole fucking country and doing concert series.
Interesting.
They got a budget, number one. You don't have to sell tickets. They're usually free.
Mm-hmm.
Like TMD.
Yeah, I go there.
Every city got that shit.
Yep. The whole point of this show is that, I mean, we're hoping now our listeners, whoever they are going to now discover you.
I appreciate it.
And want you around.
Sure.
And want to see your music. Yeah. Like I said, I haven't had the pleasure of seeing you live yet, but I will. I mean.
Absolutely.
And
probably multiple times.
We're playing up here. We got a noon slot, but it's a nice festival. Maryland Summerfest.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's in Carroll County. Mm-hmm.
When is that?
That's coming
the,
up.
24th, August 24th.
August 24th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I live on the other side of town. I live in Middle River now.
I can
My
go
parents
to that
still
one.
Live okay. in Finksburg. My parents live in Finksburg. I'm just, but no, I mean, that's a weekend.
August 24th.
And I got a party tonight. You guys invited.
That's
August
slot.
24th. I might go to that. If that's at the Ag Center, that's right near my house.
Oh, it's at the Ag Center?
Yeah.
And no, he said the Carroll County
Ag
Center.
Oh, yeah, we can, me and Amanda can come up to that.
Yeah.
Noon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I love all, you know, I love your story. I love the vibe that you give off. Which is why I reached out.
I appreciate it. And
I'm all, like, my heart is the funk. And so when I saw your live videos, I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is my shit. It just is. Like, yeah, that's why, that. I mean, you know, even my set, my drum set, I have it like a 20-inch kick just to give it a nice funk pop mm-hmm. and a 13-inch mm-hmm. hi-hat so it's nice and crisp.
You should come out to the jam session.
I always, it's like... So right now in my life, I'm in two bands. I do this. I work for Baltimore County. I have a granddaughter. I have two. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like,
nice
and thing. So, and I'm trying to occasionally make it to the city to help try to revitalize the vibes mm-hmm. of the city somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow.
My wife go downtown to see music a lot.
Yeah. We went to Chris Schaefer's variety show. Yeah. He has it every first
Tuesday.
You have
a favorite venue?
I like seeing bands at Metro Gallery.
Metro Gallery's a good room. Mm-hmm.
So our first guest on here is a dude named Ricky Wise. He's a mm-hmm. drummer and he's in a lot of bands, brings a lot of people together, and he has a house concert series in Canton.
Okay.
So that's once a month, mm-hmm. every month, and he has bands. It's an amazing space. It's mm-hmm. kind of indescribable, but it's tight. It's tight, tight knit.
Intimate.
So like,
it's an intimate.
It's intimate.
Venue.
Yeah. There's only 60 people.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I was just talking about like having him in there with 9 people. I don't know.
I don't think they could come in
and tone it down, but people talk, they tell their stories, mm-hmm. they play music and everybody just listens and vibes. It's awesome.
I like that.
Yeah. Technically it might be perfect for your vibe. Mm-hmm. It's just the piece of band might have to vary that night.
Sure.
And then Chris Schaefer, he's the Christopher Schaefer Clothier. He's down in Fells. He's a drummer. He's in a band. He was one of our guests. And he just started back in May, I think was the first one. This variety show once. So in his studio, in his tailor shop on the first floor. He has artists display their work, sell it, doesn't take commission, just gives them the space. Mm-hmm. So three artists every month, mm-hmm. and that's the opening. And that opening, he has a variety show. So he has a band. Someone, do you know Brandon Woody?
Sure, sure.
So Brandon Woody did the June show.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
He killed it. That's the first time I've seen him. Yeah.
In a little garage. In a little garage in downtown Baltimore.
I talked to him. He's a guy we're going to get in here.
Yeah, he should. He's an amazing kid. I'm real proud of that kid.
Yeah. God, he's
yeah, he was fucking unbelievable. I saw a video.
So yeah, he has some bands come in. He has some comedians come in. It's all free. He has some.
Yeah, put me down.
Yeah, I'll talk to him about it.
Sure.
I'll see, because I know he's.
Through there and talk to a beat, some shit, you know.
Yeah, it would be a good vibe for you, I think. That kind of
you can just come down. Like I said, it's the if you're ever looking for something to do on a Tuesday night, it's the first Tuesday of every month.
Yeah, and if Chris Schaefer Clothier, like he's slick, cool. man. Like he designs he's a good guy. For a lot of slick.
And he has a band. He's a drummer.
Nice guy. Okay,
he's got like a punk band, mm-hmm. but he's friends with Jane's Addiction. Mm-hmm. He knows a lot. He's a skater too, sure, so he's been around. He's around that world.
He's a real thing. I got
he's a good guy.
Hey, so Joe, well, do you have any music related questions still?
No, I'm good. I mean, we went through a lot.
Yeah.
I know where you're going.
One thing that we always bring up here at Sanity Lounge is because my first love on earth, other than my parents and all that bullshit, is film. Okay. So my question to you is, do you like movies? And if you do, do you have a top three that you could think of that you
Planet would... Apes. Off the top
the original. Mm-hmm. Heston. Oh. Ooh, okay. Nice, Joe Keyes.
Damn, that's a great, all right. That's a great one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Shit. I saw that like 19 times.
Yeah.
Wait Until Dark.
Wait Until Dark.
Mm-hmm. Audrey Hepburn and Efren Jr. What did I say his name? Efren Zimbalist Jr.?
No, I don't know that one. No.
Wait Until Dark.
Wait Until Dark.
Right now, I got people pissed off. Uh-huh. I guarantee
you. Because you don't know the movie.
Because I don't know that movie.
What, it's a Hepburn what type movie. Of movie is
it's
it?
Like a, it's like a spy kind of a movie.
Okay.
And what is
she
that?
She plays a blind woman, and it's a heroin movie. It's mm-hmm. with this heroine.
Is it 70s, 60s, or
60s?
Uh-huh. Nice. Okay. Well, I'll have to check that one out. What was it called again? Say that again.
Wait Until Dark.
Wait.
Joe Keyes deep cuts,
yeah,
baby.
Man,
I love that.
Sometimes
yeah.
it's hard to stump him sometimes.
Yeah, good shit. Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot. Like it's,
my third one would probably be, from back then.
Well, it can be whenever. I mean, even, you know, from then till now, whatever has influenced Joe Keyes in any way.
It's a mad, 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 mad world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
nice.
I love that flick.
You look, to further this, unfortunately or fortunately, but probably unfortunately, they're remaking that right now.
That's too bad.
It is. They've done it before on TV or something a few times in the years, but I'm pretty sure. And the guy, I want to say, like Doug Liman mm-hmm. is directing.
That the first one that came out was called If It's Tuesday, It Must Be Belgium.
Huh. Well, like the first rendition of It's
that's
a Mad...
all those same actors.
Interesting. Yeah. Uh-huh. Wow, I didn't know that either. Joe Keyes.
Nice.
Laying it down, baby. Christ, I got film tattooed on my arm. I look like a nickel bagger compared to fucking Joe Keyes.
I mean, have you been through the whole Planet of the Apes universe, like even the new movies?
I got bored with it after a while,
Well, so I own all of the old ones, right?
They're good.
They are great.
Practical,
I mean, it's crazy.
It's practical effects.
Even story... I mean, title-wise, it's like Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah,
Conquest Beneath the Deep of the Planet of the Apes.
I got as far as Conquest, I think it was.
Right.
I did not
well, let me I just know. Say this, that these last...
But the new ones are good.
These mm-hmm. last few have been good.
They're intense. I mean, it's...
I'm going to see them. Yeah. I'm going to see them, but they don't catch me like the ones back then.
Now, and like he said, the practical effects, the physical effects of back then just feel right for some reason.
I even like the one with Marky Mark.
That
was Tim Burton. I like that Charlton Heston was an ape in it. Like he had the cameo as the ape lead.
Who died,
He was... Ralph Fiennes. No, not Ralph Fiennes. Tim Roth. He was his father.
Oh, wow. Because
he was like the main.
I gave up after a while.
So he, it, but it was a Tim Burton playing the
I'm
ape.
Sure
it was
good.
Wild.
So,
but,
yeah, like
yeah,
in
Tim Roth was the evil ape, and Charlton Heston was an ape, mm-hmm. and he was his father.
You know who else was the ape? Was the huge
Michael Clark
guy
Duncan.
From Green Mile. Yeah, Michael Clark Duncan. Yeah,
he was the general.
But he was, didn't he go soft? I think he ended up being a little, like, he ended up being kind of
good.
Yeah,
because Tim Roth, the main ape went nuts.
Right. It was all right, though. It had a controversial ending.
And Helena Bonham Carter, she was an ape. It was good.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's interesting. And so on the film level, like, that's you are more, when you sit down to take in a film Joe Keyes style, you reach for the old, usually.
Now it's got to be black people in it.
There has to be.
Yep.
Just out of principle, or you're not interested.
If I turn television on, when I turn Netflix, I gotta find some black actors to support.
Interesting. Okay, to support.
Yeah.
Just okay. I got you.
I just watch some black shit.
So it's out of principle.
It's out of principle.
Okay. Well, that's noteworthy. Yeah. I mean, that's all right. Yeah. You know. Well, will you watch us?
Sure, I'm not anti anything.
Well, goddamn, we're not black. you gotta be able to watch us.
No, but I check it all out. You ask me what I reach for.
Oh, okay, now, I got you.
Now,
right, like if you instinctually, I got you. I
know
what you're saying.
Once again, that's not to say I shouldn't be more open now. So,
sure. So, no, yeah. And I'm not judging
so
you.
So if you hit me up and say, "Hey, Joe, I think you should watch this," I'm gonna watch it.
I got you.
I'm definitely gonna take suggestions from people, but my choice is gonna be.
Usually, right? It would.
Right.
It
even
would,
if it's some corny ass Eddie Murphy shit or something. It's
sure.
Be some,
did you like the new Axel F?
I fell asleep.
Let me tell you something.
I haven't seen it yet, still.
Dude. I fucking loved it. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm a little bit of
it was,
a.
I was a little corny. I thought it was a little corny.
It
well, let
had
me
to
ask
be
you.
Better than the third.
Did
one,
you?
Man.
Did you like the? Did you think the original?
First of all, I'm not
corny?
A big Eddie fan. I'm a fan of him.
Okay.
I'm proud of the brother.
Yeah.
Blah,
right.
Blah,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I'm a big Eddie.
I got you. So you weren't ever crazy about the first or second. I got you. Okay, well, that's different. I understand that. Then. All right. Because if you were a fan of one and two, three one and two, this was wonderful. It made you feel good.
Yeah, I liked that everybody came back, too.
It hit all the notes
you wanted
it to be.
Yeah, that part is cool. Yeah, I like that part about it.
I mean, it's cheese. You know, it's a little cheese.
I mean, Reinhold was in three, but Taggart wasn't.
No, and I kind of feel like it's what you're signing up for, though. You know what I mean? It's like if you weren't expecting
cheese in Axel F, then you had too high of expectations.
Right. What about new bands, Joe? Is there any new bands that are getting your goat, like... making you feel anything funk wise?
That kid, Brandon Woody. I like him.
Brandon Woody. Now he's jazz, right?
Yeah.
Or is he jazz funk?
He's a trumpet.
Yeah,
yes.
He's a trumpet player.
God, man.
He got it though.
Video was fucking incredible.
He's got it.
Yeah.
That motherfucker's got that shit.
Yeah.
Nice.
He just got like a write up in the New York Times.
He's
or something.
Badass.
Yeah,
he's on his way.
He's great.
Nice. Yeah, nice. And when you go back and forth to New York a lot, you're visiting family a lot up there?
Family, friends, you know, I'm still having fun.
Good for you, man. That's fucking great, dude.
Hell yeah,
that's
I'm single,
man.
Bro.
I'm that's it, right? Wow, I didn't even think about that. But
I never had any children.
Wow,
none of that stuff. I've been single all my life. I tried
the elusive Joe Keyes.
I tried to be in relationships with both women and men.
Right.
I tried. I'm just not there.
It just doesn't do it for you.
I need a piece of ass every once in a while.
Right.
But. Too much. It's not my part of my journey. I like it. What happens is, like, I'm working on a documentary now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right? Interesting.
Working on a documentary. And I'm kind of seeing someone. Okay? But fucking shit is taking up too much of my time now. I'm paying attention to a documentary now.
Mm-hmm.
It's distracting.
Sure.
Ah, it's distracting.
Well, it's like Rocky. It's like Rocky, you know, if you're training, women weaken knees.
Well,
like,
some,
you know.
Getting support? I mean.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's all in my head. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
Right.
Sure.
Good.
I go, but when I go to New York, I'm overlooking the Hudson River, bro. I'm living like fucking Jay-Z.
Right. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm asking. Because every fucking, I'm like, this guy is fucking.
I just got, hey, listen, my cousin, he's fucking. Travel all over the world. My first cousin from Frio that I grew up with. He's got this giant penthouse in New York now. And wow. My friends, people that who got past the coke,
right,
and stuff, they're doing well.
Good.
And that's we're sharing wonderful. With each other. They come to my home down here. We just don't, I never. That's why I'm a little snobby, probably. I said
right.
Because I've always, for some reason, been placed in these. When I sold drugs, I fucking sold drugs to freaking people who had yachts and shit.
Right, serious drugs, right? Like, you didn't nickel bag on the corner. You were rolling weights.
I really was.
To serious things. I love that.
Yeah,
dude.
that's just how I rolled. So.
Yeah, I love that.
And in those, but in those circles, you see some dark shit.
I know, man. I know.
Right.
I know.
Okay.
I've been there.
You have people fucking offering their children to you.
I know.
You have dark, rich darkness going on.
Yep.
So it's still something you go, whoa.
It can be dark.
It ain't what it looked like. Yeah. So you still have to outgrow it.
Absolutely.
That's the catch.
Absolutely.
It got me to where I am today, and it's fine. But yeah, so I'm just this blessed dude, man. It's one of my sister, that's one of her problems with me. People always giving him stuff. Sorry.
Right.
I'm blessed like that. Sorry, just... Why are you calling him to go over there? He ain't nobody. Why is he over here at the Sanity fucking lounge right now?
No.
Somebody thinks he's worth a fuck.
Right.
But
listen, you are
these
worth
are valuable moments, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, you are worth
I know I am. Yeah. I'm saying these are valuable moments. So, and that's why I'm here.
Right.
When somebody, oh, wow. They,
right.
These guys sound like they like me. Let me go over here and
see
what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I mean, it was great hearing everything about you. I appreciate you being open.
I could go on and on for
now.
we'll have you back.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap it up. But man, I really appreciate meeting you. I appreciate your vibe. Yeah. And if you haven't checked out the Late Bloomer Band, Joe Keys and the Late Bloomer Band.
Yeah.
Do it. It's on Spotify.
And tell us too.
We got a website,
tell everybody.
LateBloomerBand.com. You can go on there. I update it. Every day.
Awesome.
So you can go in there and find out what we're playing.
And you
my
just
phone
heard...
number's on there. I talk to people. Some people just call me and need somebody to talk to.
Nice.
Because I tell people at my shows, hey, listen, man, people need somebody to talk to sometimes.
That's what my wife is. She's a psych nurse, but she ran behavioral health at Harbor downtown forever. But she's a wellness specialist now.
Yeah.
She helps nurses and shit.
I'm all about
trauma,
human interaction.
And,
that's what I'm about.
That's
I'm
what
about,
she is about. That is
I'm
what she
about. I'm all
about
human interaction.
Yeah. Well, that's what we want. It's like we all
they
want
took it
positivity.
From us with COVID, and it's still happening. Yeah. Still people aren't.
I know, man.
Yeah, I agree.
I know.
Not back yet.
It's
that's
ugly.
Again, that's why me and my wife try and get downtown and out and hang
I gotta
out with
do
people
it. I take my chances.
Time.
Fuck it. I got to do it.
Yeah, man.
I agree.
I just have to. I got to do it. And yeah, I'm blessed. So why not enjoy it?
Yeah.
Well, sir, it was a pleasure, and I appreciate you, and hopefully one day we'll get the Late Bloomer Band proper in here, and we'll get a couple cuts.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All right, good stuff.
It was wonderful meeting you, man.
Stay sane, Baltimore.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening, Baltimore. You can find us at www.sanitylounge.com or on Instagram at sanity.lounge.
Keep listening and subscribe.
Stay sane, Baltimore.